Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, I did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, here we are right at the beginning of Matthew's account of the Gospel. He starts with a genealogy and we conclude his account of Jesus' genealogy with these words. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So Joseph and Mary and Jesus are each one introduced to us, but now Matthew has to explain to us how Mary is Jesus' mother and why Joseph is not mentioned as Jesus' father. Joseph and Mary are engaged, but not yet married. Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant, and he knows that he is definitely not the father. Joseph, though, is an honourable man, and he'll not expose his fiancée to public disgrace. And so he decides privately to end the legal bond of betrothal that there was between them. Having made this decision, God intervenes, and an angel explains to Joseph that he's not a cuckold, Mary has not been unfaithful, the child is the result of God's intervention in Mary's reproductive system, to give rise to the conception of a child. He's to give the child the name Yeshua, Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, God saves. So this child has this name because God is going to save his people from their sins. Joseph is to understand also that this event is the fulfillment of Isaiah's ancient prophecy, that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son who will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Well, Joseph believes. Joseph obeys. He remains faithful to Mary as her husband and refrains from sexual activity with her until the baby is born. And in obedience, he names the baby Jesus. Well, I wonder what actually happened. Well, I thought perhaps it might be fun if we had a look at Joseph's diary. Just had a look to see how Joseph saw it. Dear diary, 19th of January, a great day. Nearly finished my training. Soon be able to take some of the jobs off Dad. Met M at the village dance. Arranged to see her again next week. 19th of February. I think I'm in love. I think I'm in love. Yes, I really am in love. I can't think of anything else. Dad says, I must keep my mind on my work. 19th of March. M's a bit strange today. distracted. Mind seems to be somewhere else. Seemed to be a bit worried about something, yet had a sort of sparkle in her eyes. Hope she hadn't met somebody else. Wants to back out of our betrothal. 19th of April. Trip to Capernaum cancelled. Mary was feeling a bit off colour. Her mum said she'd been sick. Must have been something she ate. 19th of May. Notice that Mary had stopped wearing her jeans in favour of flowing skirts. They look pretty, but I told her that they weren't ever so practical for getting the chores done for her mum. Went out for a meal. She had enough for two. Maybe she's making up for all those days when she was feeling nauseous and couldn't eat anything. June 19th. Mary's putting on weight. I don't like to mention it, but it's a bit obvious, especially seeing she was always so slim. She's not keen on dancing anymore. Mother says she's taken up knitting. Well, I suppose I could do with a sweater or two. 19th of July. I'm totally shocked. I don't know what to do. Mary called round and said she had something important to tell me. She said, Joseph, would you love me no matter what I told you? I said, yes. And then she told me. Pregnant? Well, I said, I know it wasn't me, so who was it? An angel, she said. Tell it to your old man, I said. 19th of August. How many more shocks can I have? I've just about got my plan sorted for ending my relationship privately without drawing attention to Mary's condition. I mean, she's a good lass, really. Well, one mistake. Didn't want to see her get humiliated. But then I had this vivid dream. An angel, like the one Mary spoke about, appeared to me and told me that what Mary said was true. She hadn't been unfaithful. God was the father of her child. I was to call him Jesus. He was going to do something really special for God. Wow. 19th of September, October, November, working hard, preparing the house, getting the nursery furniture sorted, making a cot, taking my share of the chores. Pregnancy suits Mary. She's really happy. News of the census came through at the end of November. We've got to go to Bethlehem, my family home. 19th of December. Riding on a donkey in her condition. This was not good timing. What name do I have to give him? Jesus. That's right. And the angel said it fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy about a virgin having a child and calling him Emmanuel. God with us. Well, I hope he is. Well, when we look around the Bible, what can we actually find out about Joseph? Reference to Jesus' parents first appear in Paul's letters, around about 25, 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. They mention Jesus' mother, but not by name, and they don't refer to his father at all. But in Matthew, of course, we know the story goes on. I mean, in Matthew, Joseph obeys the direction of an angel to marry Mary and then to flee to Egypt to escape the massacre of the children of Bethlehem, planned by Herod the Great. the tyrant who ruled Judea. And then once Herod had died, an angel tells Joseph again to return to the land of Israel. But not back to Bethlehem, back to Nazareth. And so Joseph takes his wife Mary and the baby Jesus back to live in Nazareth. The last time that Joseph actually appears in person in the New Testament is in the story of the Passover visit to the temple in Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 years old. And that's only found in Luke's account. None of the Gospel accounts mention Joseph as present during any event in Jesus' ministry. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, however, do tell us about a scene in Nazareth where Jesus is rejected as a prophet because they say, hey, well, we know his family. But they don't mention Joseph. In Mark, probably the first account of the gospel, written, well, maybe as little as 7 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, they call Jesus Mary's son. Again, no mention of a father at all. In Matthew, the townspeople call Jesus the carpenter's son. Again, though, without mentioning the name of his father. The Greek word tekton, which we traditionally talk about as carpenter, actually doesn't mean carpenter. It's a fairly general word. It's the word from which we get our word technology. And it could be a maker of anything, any objects, any sort of material, a builder probably. But the suggestion of a woodworker, a carpenter, is something that belongs to our Christian tradition. The only other mention that we get of Joseph is in John's account of the gospel, when the disbelieving Jews say, we want to believe in this man. He's the son of Joseph. His father and mother we know. So, what do we make of this? What do we actually bring out of this? What do we know about Joseph? Well, I suppose we know he's an honorable man. He does the honorable thing. He wants to respect his fiancée. He's a righteous man. He does the right things before God. He believes God's messenger. What would we do if we're faced by an angel? Believes God's messenger. And more than just believing, he's obedient to the instructions that God brings through his messenger. And so the baby is born into a family. A family with two parents, and a family that is preserved from the genocide that is wreaked by Herod, because once again, Joseph believes God's messenger and is obedient to God's word. Well, we don't know, do we, whether he lived to see Jesus grow up. Most of the commentators think that Joseph died before Jesus' ministry began, and hence his absence from any of the stories, and there being no reference to him at all. So for us, it's about believing God. It's about taking God at his word. It's about obeying God's words to us. It's about seeing God's purposes fulfilled in our lives when we listen and when we're obedient. Being part of God's mission of salvation. Being part of God's mission of redemption in Christ. His name is Jesus. God saves. Do we hold that word? Do we know that every time we say the word Jesus, we are saying, God saves? He's the fulfillment of God's promise to be present with us. He will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. So how might we follow in Joseph's footsteps? Well, let's look at what the first disciples did. 3 years trudging around Judea, ending with the trauma of crucifixion and the shock of the resurrection. They do as they're told. They go to Galilee and they meet him. But they're saying to each other, so now what do we do? What do we do next? And what do we do next? What do we do next year? Next month? Tomorrow? Well, let's go to the end of Matthew's account of the gospel. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, this is the Great Commission. This is how Matthew ends his account. This is Jesus' last instructions to his church. He met with his closest followers on a mountain in Galilee where he gives them their marching orders. The disciples worshipped and doubted, while Jesus, having declared that he is Lord with authority over all things in heaven and on earth, sends them out in their mission into the world with the promise that he will be with them always. Emmanuel, God is with us. Matthew leaves us standing on the mountain in Galilee with Jesus and the disciples. We're not told what happened next. We're being encouraged to continue the story for ourselves. His name is Jesus. God saves. So how will we continue the story that we begin at this time of year, celebrating the birth of the one through whom God will bring salvation? The disciples are instructed to go to everyone, to encourage them, to teach them, to involve them in the mission of God, in God's project in the world, that God wants to be in the world, present with people, that God wants to save people. Not so much saving them from, but saving them for the life that he intended each person to have. And they're given these two promises. The first is of authority, and the second promise, far more importantly, is presence. Jesus will be with them wherever they're engaged in his commission to take salvation to the world. We can assume, can't we, that Matthew knew the fulfillment of both these promises, because for him, the end of the story is but the beginning of what comes next. Matthew's ending is suspended. He invites us to enter into the story. Jesus promises that from now on, he is going to be with his people. But what sounds like a benediction to send us home feeling blessed is actually our marching orders to take Jesus to all nations. Beginning, now this is the uncomfortable one, isn't it? Beginning here. It's only by obeying the orders that we're going to discover that Jesus is indeed the risen Lord who is with us. It is his story that brings life to a dying world, that brings hope to a despairing people, that brings justice and love to places of strife and hatred. He's the one who shared human life. He's the one who walks beside us and dances ahead of us into his future. We're back at the beginning. Emmanuel, God is with us. The end of the gospel is also the beginning of its proclamation to the whole world. The good news has to be shared. His name is Jesus. God saves. God wills to save. The end is our beginning. Obedient and trusting in God's word to us, just as Joseph did right at the start. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So we pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you will go with us and remain with us until Jesus comes or calls, and then forevermore. Amen.